Some members of the Amish community are challenging a traffic law in Ohio. The law requires animal-drawn vehicles to display a flashing light. Is it saving lives or interfering with religious freedom? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the dispute over this law and the different opinions among Amish people are Pennsylvania State University Population Research Institute postdoctoral scholar Corey Anderson. Thanks for being here, Corey.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And the Ohio Newsroom reporter and producer, Aaron Gottsacker. Welcome back, Aaron.
Hi, thank you.
Aaron, tell us about this Ohio law. It requires flashing lights on animal-drawn vehicles. How long has it been the law, and is it aimed specifically at Amish people?
Yeah, Lucy. Well, this law was passed in 2022. At the time, it was called House Bill 30. And among some other things, it requires animal-drawn vehicles. So that includes Amish buggies, not limited to them. That's definitely a big group that it's targeted at. It requires them to have flashing yellow lights. And the reason is to improve safety. Back in 2020, the state did this. The Department of Transportation conducted this study, and they found that there are upwards of 700 crashes involving buggies. That was between 2009 and 2019. And they can be really serious. People can die. People can get hurt because buggies travel a lot slower than cars, and there's no seatbelts or airbags the way our cars tend to.
Sure. And we'll get into that data because there's a lot of interesting stuff to dig into. But what were the rules for horse and buggy drivers before this law was passed? Were there other requirements to try to make the buggies and other animal-drawn vehicles more visible to people who are driving in cars and trucks?
Yeah, before this law was passed, vehicles were supposed to have this slow-moving vehicle emblem. You've probably seen it. It's that, like, orangey triangle on tractors, things like that. But back in the 60s, the Swartzen Troopers, which is this really conservative sect of Amish, they worked out a deal with the Ohio government. And instead of having these bright stickers and battery-operated lights, they said, well, we'll use reflective tape and kerosene lanterns, and that's what they used as headlights. So that has stood for a really long time, since the 60s until this law was passed in 2022.
And Aaron, you mentioned this data. Tell us a little bit more about the numbers that the state came up with to say, hey, this is a change is really needed here.
Yeah, well, like I said, there were 723 crashes between 2009 and 2019. And of those crashes, more than a dozen people died and 132 faced incapacitating injuries. And some state lawmakers were concerned about that. They said, these numbers aren't getting better, and they should be. There's something we can do to make it better. And so they looked at all the different things that they could do, and they said yellow flashing lights, though that seems to be the most effective, because when a driver sees a flashing yellow light, you almost automatically instinctually slow down. And that's important because where a lot of these crashes happen, it's not like at night, it's not in the dark. It's on straightaways where cars, you know, I'm thinking State Route 32 right now, cars are traveling really fast and buggies just can't travel that fast. And so that's when a flashing yellow light could help you slow down in just a few matter of seconds. That's what the state has argued.
Yeah. There are some who argue there isn't enough data. Stephen Burnett, a clinical instructional fellow at the clinic, this is the Harvard Law Clinic, I guess, that we're going to talk about later, says there's not much evidence that the yellow light substantially improves safety. What did you hear from him to kind of say, hey, I don't know if this yellow light really is going to do the trick?
Well, he said, you know, these accidents aren't happening at night. They're happening on straightaways. And Corey could probably speak to this more than I could. But, you know, maybe it could change things a little bit, but why aren't we focusing on pedestrian accidents? Things were more, you know, this is relatively small number of people that it's impacting, you know, and you have this group of people who are saying it infringes on our right to religious freedom. And perhaps that right, you know, needs to be taken just as seriously as safety
here. Yeah. And Corey, we're going to talk to you about a lot of that. First, though, how is this law being enforced, Corey? Are Amish people being ticketed if they're in a horse-drawn buggy that doesn't have a flashing light?
Sure. So prior to the law's passage, there was some more progressive Amish denominations that had adopted the yellow flashing light. And then among some of the stricter groups, such as the Swartzendruber Amish and also the Amish around Kenton, Ohio, had objected to electrifying their buggy. as they have since the idea was first introduced in the 1960s. So the Amish have been ticketed. All but two of these citations have been going to Schwarzenegger Amish or Kenton Amish, and we are approaching 300 citations. These are highly concentrated in several counties, including Ashland County, Wayne County, Monroe County, Belmont County, and Medina County. These are places where there's heavier Schwarzenegger Amish concentrations. And indeed, a lot of the controversies and discussions about this law were originally coming out of Ashland and Wayne County area, where there are a lot of Schwarzenegger Amish. So the law was sort of passed with the movers and shakers coming from one particular section of Ohio. And then in turn, enforcement has fallen right back upon that particular area of Ohio without a lot of regards for the various horse and buggy Amish and horse and buggy Mennonites in other places across the states who might have different practices.
We're talking about a legal dispute over an Ohio law that requires lights on animal-drawn vehicles. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Corey, tell us more about why some Amish people are resisting this law. Are they not concerned with the crash data that Aaron just talked with us about?
Absolutely. They are very concerned about safety. Their experiences within buggies are showing them that, this isn't just about putting another marking on the back of our buggy, which tends to shift blame for accidents to the victims and indeed shame the victims of crashes. But they're saying this actually is this change, this yellow flashing light. Isn't really just about safety. It's actually about some within our churches who would like to change a lot of things within our churches, not just a yellow flashing light, but they would like to expand the size of their businesses. They'd like to adopt, other electrifications and lifestyle. And so for a lot of the Schwarzenegger Amish going through these, difficult times of getting cited and then having to go into court, which is a very unfamiliar experience. They're looking at this also as an internal church dispute over where are we drawing the lines on a lot of things. And there is a segment of Schwarzenegger Amish who would like to align a bit more closely with the progressive style Amish. And recently, the Schwarzenegger Amish, at least one group of them, have experienced a schism over this issue. So they do very much care about safety. They've lost loved ones in crashes. But when they look at why these crashes are occurring, they've noticed a huge uptick in what seems to be distracted driving, especially with the advent of smartphones, where motorists actually have their eyes off of the road and would not see any sort of markings on the back of a buggy in that case. It's largely been on straightaway stretches where perhaps motorists feel a little bit more comfortable taking their eyes off the road versus some of their communities back in the hills where the road demands a lot more attention and people can't be as distracted on their smartphones when driving. So some of the religious objections they would have to adopting a yellow flashing light would be one, they want to honor the forefathers' decisions back in the 1960s when they first said, I think we're going to draw a line on this, on electrifying our buggies. And they very much want to honor what their forefathers had decided at that time and not just break away from that because it could lead to a mentality of wanting to push away from many of the other lines that they've drawn that, help them stay behind the ways of the world. As well, they don't want their buggies to look more and more like motor vehicles. They ride a buggy in order to maintain some distance, some separation from the systems of society. And they don't want to keep putting all these lights on their buggy or other markings that are going to make it look just like a motor vehicle. They're also against the electrification that would be required by the yellow flashing light. Indeed, they really don't use much electricity in their environments, and what electricity is present is very limited to one or two battery-powered devices. And finally, many of their living environments are rather drab. They wear dark-colored clothing. Their homesteads are very plain. And to have, say, like an orange triangle or a yellow flashing light on one of those symbols that really represents we are a particular people that are conscientious about how much we're going to get close to the rest of society, to really start putting flashing things across their buggies in their homes, it's just really, it just looks very different. It sits uncomfortably with them. But they are concerned about safety. They have tried multiple alternatives to the yellow flashing lights and indeed are very creative in some of these alternatives. For example, the lanterns that Aaron mentioned earlier. These aren't just lanterns you would think of that an old-time miner is taking deep into a cave and is holding by hand, but these are inserted into boxes that then have red and white circles that glow, much like a motor vehicle's taillights. And so some of the Schwarzenegger Amish have not just put these two lanterns on their buggies, but they have offset them unevenly from the ground. So if you're driving along at night and you see these two supposed taillights, they're actually offset in a way that makes the motorist think, okay, what is this up ahead? And would cause you to slow down. They've also experimented not just with the minimum requirements for reflective tape along the perimeter of the rear of the buggy, but they've also put reflective tape and reflective PVC pipes along the spokes, the hubs, the axles, which sometimes can generate a very gentle movement that can catch the eye of a motorist. Some of them have even put white reflective boxes on the back of their buggies to try to create a white offset against their black buggies if, say, they're in the shadows of a tree on a bright day. So they're very concerned about safety. They do have sincere religious objections to the yellow flashing light, and they've been asking the state, can you look at these alternatives? They've invited legislators, sheriff's deputies out to look at the alternatives they're coming up with, but they inevitably have just shook their head and said, nope, it's the yellow flashing light or nothing. It's almost as if like the measure to which it infringes on their religious conscience is the measure in which it's safe, which is sort of a sad mentality that's defined this entire dispute.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen the government working more closely and collaboratively with the Schwarzenegger, who had some objections, to find some alternatives that were less burdensome, but would increase safety.
I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we'll get tips about how to view the total lunar eclipse happening later this week. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about a legal dispute over an Ohio traffic law that requires lights on animal-drawn buggies. My guests are Pennsylvania State University Population Research Institute postdoctoral scholar Corey Anderson and the Ohio Newsroom reporter and producer Aaron Gottsacker. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Aaron, before our break, Corey was talking about the really genuine objections that some Amish people have to these flashing lights that are required by this law. I know that people have written to state authorities to oppose the law. What arguments have they made in their letters?
Yeah, some people are opposing this law, and they've written a lot. They have a lot of different reasons, like Corey was saying. Some of them argue, and I can quote from this one letter writer. He says, in our lifestyle, we have to try to live the traditions of our forefathers, which is based on the Bible. And we realize that once a tradition or ordinance based on the Bible is lost, it will never return. Hence, we have a deterioration of the church. So they really emphasize the importance of tradition and the importance of following what your forefathers did, of honoring your father and your mother. That was really important. They also brought up this idea that God will protect us. One letter writer said, quote, "I am afraid if I start using the flashing light on my buggy, it would do me more harm spiritually, as I could end up having more trust in the flashing light to protect me than in God." And people, you know, they were afraid they're getting tickets for not following the law. And a lot of people said, we don't want to disobey the government, but if we have to choose between following the teachings of Jesus Christ and following the rules of our government, like, we're going to go with God. And so that was something that came up a lot. But a lot of people, you know, it's not a position they want to be in.
Sure. Corey, you connected the Swartzentruber's church leaders with Harvard Law School's Religious Freedom Clinic. Why did you help them make that connection?
I did my master's thesis on horse and buggy safety issues, and I had some skepticism towards measures such as the slow-moving vehicle emblem. There's this idea that more visibility is only going to be better. But what we haven't talked a lot about is, can we be putting things on buggies or even on motor vehicles, bicycles, pedestrians, that could actually increase crash risk? In the yellow flashing light, maybe it catches our attentions in some circumstances, but in my research, I feel like I have reason to be skeptical that this is going to be a safety solution in all situations. One of the things I found in my research was the concept of the moth effect, where emergency vehicles parked on a shoulder along a highway with all of their flashing lights on, whether it's a police vehicle or an ambulance, there's some minority number of motorists who become so preoccupied with what they are watching there on the shoulder with all these bright flashing lights that they actually end up steering towards the object rather than away from it. So the idea is that the moth flies towards a flame. Another reason to be skeptical of the safety value of this law is that this yellow flashing light is required to be visible at 1,000 feet. That is quite a distance. In most circumstances, motorists encountering a buggy aren't concerned about it at 1,000 feet, but they're concerned about it when they're right behind it and need to make a safe pass. Let's say you're in your living room at night and there is a lamp and it's the only light in the room, and you stare at that lamp and you flip it on and then off and then on and then off and then on and then off. Your eyes are going to resist continuing to observe that even as you feel pulled towards it, because it's a lot of strain. And if you're a motorist trying to navigate around a buggy, trying to see what's beyond that buggy, having a yellow flashing light, or in some cases it flashes so quickly that it's almost like a strobe light shining right in a motorist's eyes, is not going to improve safety. Once you know the buggy is there, a yellow flashing light in your eyes is only going to frustrate the motorist, make the motorist more aggressive, or take risks. And indeed, that ODOT report that Aaron mentioned earlier, one of the main things that came out of that study was that Amish are concerned about aggressive drivers who take risk. And among all the alternative measures that ODOT had suggested to increase safety, a yellow flashing light was not on that list.
Aaron, I mentioned the Religious Freedom Clinic is now representing members of some of this Amish sect that has objections to this law. What kind of argument will the clinic be making on their clients' behalf? I mean, are there other things you've heard from folks at the clinic that kind of give you an indication of how that's going to shake out?
Yeah, so the clinic, they're representing 4 people, 3 members of this conservative Swartzentruber sect and 1 member of a similarly conservative sect, the Kenton Amish. And they are arguing that they're suing under the religious freedom, like your First Amendment rights. And also the Ohio Constitution actually has an even stronger provision, like I think it's the freedom of conscience provision. And they're are saying that in this case, the yellow light, you know, it only does so much. Really, your right to religious freedom outweighs the safety concern. And we'll have to see if that's a successful argument. They argued in front of the Hardin County Common Pleas Court in November just to get a temporary restraining order so they can't continue enforcing it. But the actual court case will play out in July.
Hmm. Corey, you know, we've talked a little bit about how there are other Amish people who are fine with following this new law. Tell us what you think this says about, you know, whether there's a difference of opinion. The difference of opinion over this law, rather, is an example of a broader difference of opinion within the Amish community.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, thank you for raising that point. There is over 100 different, you can say, plain types of churches, and that would include Amish or plain Mennonites or German Baptists. So there's just a lot of variations among these different denominations about where exactly to draw that line when it comes to staying back from the systems of mainstream society. How much should we engage? How much should we not engage? So among some of the more, you could say the less strict Amish who would still not be comfortable getting in an automobile and driving it, some of them will accept a variety of safety measures, whether on their buggies, including yellow flashing lights, sometimes two or three different types of flashing lights on their buggies, or safety vests. They're more eager to accept those sorts of recommendations because they don't see it as challenging some of the lines that they're drawing. And because there are these differences, it's sort of interesting to see among the Amish how it plays out on a political scene. Historically, they have long believed, since the Amish were in Europe and suffered persecution at the hands of state governments and state churches, they've long been very hesitant to engage with the government on any level. And so they would prefer to honor the government, but be left alone as much as possible. But the more diversity we're seeing among the Amish, it's sort of interesting to see how some of them do engage selectively with the political system now. So yeah, indeed, there were some less strict Amish who were engaging with legislators and law enforcement in order to get this yellow flashing light law passed, knowing that some of their stricter cousins were going to have objections to it. One scholar has sort of compared the Amish to our view of the Amish as like a Smurf village. Like everything going on there is just so perfect. They're living in their rural utopia, and the big government comes along and interferes. But in fact, some of the Amish are selectively engaged in government processes, including this yellow flashing light. I think one great example of that is the East Holmes local school district, where the Amish have actually managed to work with the government to get 4 segregated school buildings just for Amish that are fully publicly funded within the system. And there's not many religious groups who could pull something like that off, where there's such constitutional questions about church-state entanglement. So the Amish are involved with the government, and when they do have differences of opinion on church matters, like in this case, yeah, maybe it does actually show up in some level of political activism, though it tends to be latent and not so visible.
Interesting. And Aaron, you said the case will resume. We'll see things in July. I assume you'll be following that and keeping us up to speed about how it goes.
Yes, we will be.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Pennsylvania State University Population Research Institute postdoctoral scholar Corey Anderson and the Ohio Newsroom reporter and producer Aaron Gottsacker. Thank you both so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Up next, there's a total lunar eclipse happening later this week. We'll get tips for when to see it. This is Cincinnati Edition.